Chapter 9, Bonds as Thick as Blood. Damien? The voice was familiar and foreign at the same time. It had only been a week since his mother had passed, but it made no sense for him to be hearing her right now. He turned away from Vivian, who sat next to him on the bench, and towards the source. His body trembled and tears filled his eyes quickly. Sitting next to him, unmistakably, was his mother. Though she looked much younger than the last he had seen her. "What is this?" Damien asked as he turned back towards Vivian, unable to face what he saw before him. "A memory," Vivian said, the softness in her voice the only thing keeping him from losing his mind. "A message she left for you long ago. Right here," Vivian said as she touched his forehead. Damien hesitated for a moment, a pressure pushing in his head as he stared forward. "Speak to her, Damien," Vivian said as she brushed his arm gently. "Not many are given the chance to speak with the dead." He nodded and turned towards his mother. Her face was calm and inviting. Smiles spread across her face as she saw his. She was the opposite of his father, with a smile just as wide, but where Malice's was cold enough to freeze, Janine's was warm enough to melt. "My baby boy, how much you've grown," she exclaimed excitedly as she outstretched her arms. Damien found himself unable to move, but he did not resist the hug either. Her arms wrapped around him tightly, and he found himself surprised that she was corporeal and that he could feel her. "Oh, how I've missed you." "I don't understand," Damien said as the tears started to fall from his eyes. He was tempted to pull away, but his mother simply held him tighter. "How can you be here?" "Oh, Damien," Janine said softly as she released him and backed away from him slightly. "Magic is a wonderful thing." She looked into the distance and Damien noticed the stars for the first time as she stared at them. "I hid this version of me inside your head when you were just a boy, so that if I ever passed, we could meet for one last time. I'm glad that you came to Vivian, and that she was kind enough to bring me out. But you didn't just pass, Mother. You took your own life. You used your last word. Why would you do something like that?" Damien was more upset than he had realized, and the tears that had only just started to dry were fresh once again. A sadness shone on his mother's face, and she looked upon him with a caring smile. She paused for a moment, again looking at the stars, seeming to consider her response, and then turned back to him. "My child, it seems that it has happened the way it was always meant to." Damien felt confusion and anger grip him. Janine placed a hand softly on his. "You are destined for great things, my boy. You always have been," she said as she picked up his hand and held it in hers. "But it is not I alone who could prepare you for what you must become. Your father and I knew long ago what it would take to make you ready." As she spoke of Malice, Damien saw her face change, a longing smile appearing as she stared into the distance once more. He may have been unable to comprehend what she was saying, but he knew this much. She loved his father. She always had. "Even back then, I knew I would never be able to witness what you would be exposed to. So I planned to remove myself when the time came." Damien couldn't believe what he was hearing. "Father made you do it, didn't he?" he shouted, anger rising quickly inside of him. She placed a hand against his cheek. "No, Damien. Your father, though you may not see him as the type, was against it from the day I mentioned it. Every day for the first year since I had decided, he tried coming up with alternatives. That eventually, he accepted it. That's love, my son." She stopped and looked to Vivian. "Thank you, sweetheart." Vivian nodded. "You've spent your entire life being nurtured by me, but now, you must learn of your nature. Embrace what your father has in store for you. Become who you are. He went to protest when suddenly Damien noticed that the stars were gone and the sky was black. He turned back to his mother, but it was too late. Her face was fading, dispersing into a cloud of shadows. The shadows floated around them, growing larger and larger, a cool chill nipping at his neck.
Damien Fornica.
The voice boomed as the shadows began to coalesce into the shape of the Nightwalker, cementing in the amber eyes that blazed in his head.
Are you in distress?
The Nightwalker asked as he emerged from the shadows, brandishing a longsword and a matchlock pistol. What is he doing in here? Damien asked as he turned to Vivian. He's a memory, just like your mother. But I think he's here to protect you. Some type of defense against those who might invade your mind. Damien was shocked at how calm she was.
Are you in distress?
The Nightwalker called again, louder this time. As he spoke, a blazing fire erupted over his entire body. No, no, Damien stammered quickly as he sat back. The shadows dispersed in an instant. Damien felt himself start to take a breath. The Nightwalker formed again on the other side of Vivian, aiming the barrel of the matchlock at her forehead.
Who is she?
The demon demanded. She's a friend! She's a friend! Damien shouted as he reached his hand towards the pistol. The monster leveled his amber eyes at Damien for a moment, before lowering the pistol. He felt the wind pick up and the creature dispersed, turning to mist and being carried by the wind. Images from the night before played through Damien's mind as he approached their estate. Vivian and him had talked for hours after visiting with his mother and the encounter with the Nightwalker. He found it difficult to get the experience out of his mind.
Good morning, young Fornica, Farron greeted him at the door.
Thank you, Fair, he said as he stepped through the door. As he passed the house hands, he saw the Nightwalker before him, sitting in a chair outside his father's study. Fear gripped him entirely. The assassin held his gaze the same way he had inside his mind.
It is good to have you both under the same roof once again. Your father has been waiting. I'll let him know you are ready.
Damien watched as the old and lanky man made his way through Malice's study and opened the balcony door, closing it behind him. He turned towards the Nightwalker. The amber flame stared back.
You may as well take a seat. Father will have us wait a moment anyways.
Bishop said before moving his hand to his mouth, placing a toothpick between his teeth. It unnerved Damien that he could only see the man's face from the nose down. How he referenced Malice disturbed him as well, but he still had not sourced out how he interpreted it. He chose to sit.
How did it go last night?
The Nightwalker asked as he pulled the toothpick free. Damien thought for a moment, unsure of if he even wanted to be having the conversation. As silence lingered, he felt himself grow uncomfortable. This was worse than talking, surely. It was good. Few have ever listened to me as Vivian did. Bishop nodded.
Mother fostered that skill in her long ago. She found that Vivian's compassion surpassed her own.
Damien felt as if he were standing on a rocking ship with unsteady legs. There was more behind the man's words than he could grasp. I saw my mother, Damien said, looking down at his hands. It was amazing, and terribly sad. The Nightwalker nodded, but said nothing. You were there too. If the man's eyebrows were visible, Damien felt that he would have seen one lift. The Nightwalker pulled the toothpick from his teeth and seemed to think for a moment.
I wasn't there. It was only a memory.
The monster said as he stared at him.
I hope he wasn't too zealous with his duties.
A devilish grin that seemed inspired by his father spread across Bishop's face. Try as he might, Damien felt he could muster no response. The two sat in silence, and time passed. Why didn't you say anything to Malice last night when you saw me? The question had dug at him, burning in his throat until he asked it. The Nightwalker stared at the marble staircase, his fiery eyes tracing over the railing as he thought. Again, a smile crossed his face and he turned back.
What is an older brother good for, if nothing else? Father already knew, regardless, but I felt like giving you some time to collect your thoughts.
So is it true? Damien asked as he sat forward quickly, his face paling.
Malice is a strategic man, eyes ever set on the endgame. When your mother was pregnant, he adopted me, rescued me from poverty and the life on the street. I acted out his will while he was gone.
You spent time with us at the old house. It wasn't a question, it was a statement. Bishop perked up at that. I saw you talking to Mother once. The Nightwalker smiled widely.
Janine said you were too young to remember. I argued you were observant beyond your years.
Young Voynikas, your father is ready for you. It had looked as if the shadowed assassin was preparing to say something else. Whatever it was, you would have to wait. Now that I have started to bring you into the fold, things will feel rushed. You'll be overwhelmed and think that we were moving forward too quickly. Malice began as the two stood before him. Their father sat at his desk, a handful of ledgers open and maps sprawled out before him. You must push past these thoughts, Damien. Understand, if it was up to me, we would have done this years ago. At that thought, he looked down at the matching pocket watch that sat on his desk. But I was bound by a promise I dared not break. Now that the time has come, we have years of work to catch up on, and it must be quick. You will be accompanying Bishop this morning. You will be exposed to great things of intrigue. You must abate your curiosity and follow your brother's orders. Do you understand? The face Malice leveled at Damien was serious. It was not anger, but intensely serious. Damien thought of the words his mother had left him with. He would embrace his nature. Damien nodded. Good. The reply was quick and the expression washed clean from his face. He turned his attention to Bishop, and it seemed as if he no longer registered Damien for the moment. There's a fire, Lixie, soon to be. Secure him and bring him to his home. Ensure that no one sees you. Place a jarred word of fire in a separate room. Bar the door so it must be broken in. Leave the Lixie to awaken and return.
As you say, so it is.
Bishop responded before spinning on his heels, Damien following behind him. Damien looked over his shoulder, and his father simply nodded, a soft smile on his face. Bishop led them to the false wall, turning the hook and revealing the staircase. Damien walked in behind him, and his brother lifted the lantern from its spot, the hook lifting and the wall locking back into place. Damien followed, noting the climb down the stairs felt far less cramped with the light before him. As they walked past the chess table that had held the illusion the night before, he felt an urge to look at the person he had heard stir. But his father's words rang in his mind and he fought the distraction. Instead, looking towards the direction they were walking, headed for the door Bishop had entered through previously.
It would be easier if this led straight to the bunker.
Bishop said as they made their way through the tunnel connected to the basement.
What if we had done that and the private study was ever discovered? Our whole operation would be compromised. There are secrets far more valuable than ones under Father's home.
Bishop said as he stopped and lifted the trapdoor above them. The cloaked shadow climbed up the ladder and Damien followed suit. At the top, he found that the tunnel had led to the stables on their estate. It was enclosed on the sides and large enough that to block them from view. It was smart. Unless someone was posted up all day, they'd have no way of knowing that Damien had not gone in there on his own. Bishop closed the trap door and reset the coverage, ensuring that it was indistinguishable from the ground around it. As he finished pulling the tarp taut, the shadows reached from the stable nearest him and latched on to Bishop. They leached into his shoulder and arms, spreading over the rest of him quickly. Damien went to question when he felt a tingling sensation in his mind. There was a pressure there that was neither painful nor soothing, just simply there. Swaths of color danced before his mind's eye for a moment before they morphed into images. Places he had seen and visited in the city often flashed in his mind quickly. He shut his eyes in response, grasping his temples as he tried to process the experience. It was disorientating at first. His imagination and the images that he saw had not caused him issues since he'd learned to control them at a young age. He had learned to calm his thinking, to slow his thoughts and focus on each picture longer than before. But this was different. It did not feel as if his thoughts were his own. The transitioning stopped and the image changed into a new one. A static picture of Salim's master castle and the cobblestone surrounding it. It was a familiar spot to him, a geographical touchstone. The picture lingered there longer and felt different than those he had viewed before. A shadow rose from the cracks in the cobblestone and formed the cloaked figure of Bishop. The Nightwalker in his mind looked back at him, his amber eyes tearing at him inside his mind, before continuing ahead. Damien could feel himself pulled forward, the visage in his mind shifting and moving as it followed the Nightwalker. A transition to another touchstone, a blacksmith further in town. Damien opened his eyes. He understood now. The Nightwalker would have to remain hidden as they made their way through Burrow's Brawn until they got to the bunker. Bishop would not be able to verbalize or otherwise signal where to go, but with spoken writing, he could communicate through thought. He left the estate rather quickly and headed in the direction his brother had imparted with him. "Can you hear me as well?" Damien wondered, trying to think as loudly as he could.
"As well as you hear me."
"What were you saying earlier? Why did you agree to serve Father?"
"My mother was torn and dying. I lived in the streets as I tried to provide for her. Malice offered me a life where she lived, and I had purpose. The choice was easy."
Damien searched around in the darkness with a blind hand, fingers reaching behind a large boulder and fumbling for a switch. He was standing next to a darkened outcropping on the east side of Burrow's Brawn. He had gotten there rather uneventfully, following the mental map Bishop had laid out for him. He finally felt something solid and looped, and pulled. There was barely an audible click as the false wall gave way. He stepped in quickly and waited as long as it would have taken the Nightwalker to make it in, before securing the door behind them. Black blobs of shadow dropped off of Bishop and fell to the floor as he shed his camouflage.
"You adapt quickly,"
he said as they pushed forward, headed down the tunnel. There was light at the end of it, Damien could see, but it was far enough away that no outline could be seen from outside.
"That is good. Do not forget it today."
As they came into an opening, Damien's throat clenched as he could no longer believe what he saw. They stood in a wide room that was mostly bare, other than 10 glass structures. They were cages made completely of solid glass. Each held a single person. A quick study revealed to Damien that they were all in the process of becoming Lakesies. One had half of his body fading into shadows, while another was little more than a pool of liquid. As Bishop and Damien walked past that cage, the water surged. forming the shape of a man and then solidifying. He was already a Lakesy, but wasn't quite feral. "How long are you going to keep me here?" the Water Lakesy shouted as he slammed his fist against the wall. There was a flash and the glass glowed blue as it sapped some of his essence. "What is this place?" Damien asked as he took it all in.
"One of our safe zones in the city. There's a handful of bunkers like these scattered throughout the kingdom,"
Bishop responded as they made their way towards the back, where partial fire Lakesy sat. His entire body was covered from the neck down. The charcoal had blackened everything else, and his body held a myriad of the rupee protrusions. His face was the only thing untouched. The rest of his body bathed in a constant flame. His legs were crossed and he seemed to be focused, perhaps in meditation. "Is it time?" the would-be Lakesy asked as his eyes flashed open.
"The final hours of your service are approaching. Your debt is nearly paid,"
the Nightwalker responded with a nod to the man before he walked over to the wall. He removed a syringe from the shelf and walked back. Turning to Damien, he extended the syringe.
"Impossible to get him out of here into his house while he is covered in fire. This will knock him out. I will work to control his flame so you can get close enough. Aim for the neck,"
he said as he unlatched the glass door and slowly pulled it open. "I would help you with the flames myself, but the word doesn't really like it when people get too close," the man responded as Damien started to approach. He looked back at Bishop and saw that the man was locked in concentration, his arms raised and tensed in place as he fought to calm the fires. Turning back to the Lakesy, he saw that the reach of the fire was far shorter than before. Damien wagered he could safely reach the man without getting hurt. Moving forward, he aimed at the man's neck and pushed the needle in. There was resistance at first, and Damien watched curiously as the skin around the needle bunched and rippled before it disappeared and the tip sank through. With steady hands, he slowly guided the needle in further and then stopped when it had reached the end of its feed. He placed a hand at the back of the syringe and pushed in, watching as the serum emptied out. The last of the liquid having left the syringe, Damien removed it carefully and watched as the dot of blood pooled in its place. A tiny ember flared to life and burned, closing the hole, however small it was. If the man had been in control, he probably would have left it alone. But the word self-corrected Alexei's wound whenever possible. The man's head dropped, the flames dimmed, and his body slumped against the wall. The glass did not glow or react as there was no longer any active magic swirling in him. Bishop extended his hand and took the syringe back from Damien. He then led him over to a cabinet and opened it, revealing a handful of jars filled with words like the ones he had delivered to Vivian the night before.
"I will carry the Lakesy and stick to the shadows. Meet me at the house,"
Bishop said as he handed the jar to Damien. Images of the house and how to get there flashed through his mind. He secured the jar inside his robes and watched as the Nightwalker picked up the man before vanishing. He watched as the door they had come through opened slightly and waited a moment until an image of the surrounding area, clear of people, entered his mind. It helped to calm him that once outside, he would still have coverage from the outcropping for a few feet, but his pulse had quickened nonetheless. It was an odd sight, the blackened and charred man laying unconscious on the floor of a house that hadn't seen a visitor in quite some time. The drapes on the windows were all drawn, and the man was placed out of view of the door when it was opened.
"What you injected him with should keep him unconscious long enough. When he wakes up, he will finish the process,"
Bishop said as he stood up from the man's body. "Why are we doing this?" Damien asked as they walked to a closet off to the side of the main room and stepped inside. The closet was empty, aside from a shelf halfway up the wall. His brother took the jar from him and set it there. They left the closet and closed the door.
"There is a matter that needs to be taken care of. This Lakesy will make quick work of that. But we needed to prolong his changing until later tonight.
Bishop said as he walked up to the main door and opened it. As the door opened, Bishop fell into the shadows and Damien could feel him slip into his mind once again.
I will lock the door and leave through a window on the second floor. I will not be seen. Head home.
Young Fonica, Farron said with a pleasant smile as he opened the door. You look like you have been through quite an afternoon.
Damien stepped in through the door.
It was certainly eventful. His father in his study. I'm sure he wants to see me.
The househand simply nodded. Damien headed up the stairs and approached his father's study.
Ah, Damien, you have returned, Malice exclaimed from the balcony.
He strode in from the double doors and stood behind his desk, holding his pipe in his hand, smoking it casually.
How was it?
Enlightening, Damien responded as he sat in one of the chairs.
You learned some things, Malice asked as the pipe hung in his mouth.
Many. Good, Malice said as he pulled a key from his pocket and unlocked a compartment of his desk. He reached in and lifted out a lantern that was painted black on all four sides, trapping in any light that might have been there.
There is something else that I must show you, he said as he stood.
Standing up, Malice walked towards the false wall and beckoned for Damien to follow. Twisting the dial, the wall gave way and they stepped inside. Malice carried the blacked-out lantern the entire way and did not grab another source of light. Once at the bottom of the stairs, he lifted up one of the sides of the lantern, revealing a fire geist thriving inside. Underneath the black slate was a glass window, ensuring the creature would not escape. The fire geist shined a brighter light than any lantern Damien had ever seen. Malice turned towards the wall to the right of the chess table and shone the lantern at it. An old and weathered man with unruly hair and a scraggly beard sat in a dilapidated chair. His hands were bound to it in multiple places with straps. The man was alive and did not seem to be in danger of dying anytime soon, but he was far away from being in good state.
Who is this?
Damien asked as he stared forward with wide eyes.
Your grandfather, Malice said, his voice carrying no intonation.
Damien's face whitened and his eyes strained as he took in the face of the man before him. Why was it that every time his father seemed to reach out to him or show compassion, there was something darker lurking beneath the surface?
Theos the Great.
Why? Damien managed to ask. He was surprised he could get the word out, feeling the beginnings of a panic attack. Theos the Great had ruled over the Meinhort Kingdom before Maxtrot had usurped him.
My mother was a wandering beggar.
He caught a tinge of sadness across his face as he thought of her.
A woman you should be happy you never met, Malice said as he tossed the thought away.
They were together in his youth. Because I was a bastard and Theos was a great king, he chose not to acknowledge me, refused me my surname, and struck me from the family tree. So I forged my own.
Why are you showing me this?
I feel you must be fully informed before making a decision. You can either consider this man your grandfather, or you can be my son. Damien stood in silence for a moment, staring into the eyes of his grandfather. Slowly he turned away and followed Malice.
I am Fonica.
I hope you all enjoyed that chapter. Please check out next episode for chapter 10, Another Promise. And as always, the song I used was Fluidscape by Kevin McLeod and Incompetech.com, licensed under Creative Commons by Attribution 3.0 license at http://creativecommons.org/licenses/by/3.0.